Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to all those who are watching with us. Going to start in Mark 10, verse 13. Mark 10 and verse 13. It says, "And they brought children to him, to Yeshua, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those carrying them. And Yeshua saw it and was offended, and he said to them, 'Allow the children to come to me, and do not hinder them. For because of those who are as these, the kingdom of Yahweh exists. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of Yahweh as a child will not enter into it, never.' And having taken them in his arms, laying hands on them, he blessed them." So the name of this message is, "Unless you enter the kingdom as a child." Unless you enter the kingdom as a child. And we've talked about it many times before, about the fall of man and how things would have been dramatically different if Adam and Eve had fulfilled their role, particularly Adam, his role in bringing the good news to others around him. But when we think about it also, Adam and Eve were the only two beings ever in the history of humanity that were not born, you know, from a woman's womb. Adam was created and Eve was taken from there. And yet, when they were created, they weren't babies. They weren't 5 months old, 10 months old. They were developed human beings. We don't know exactly the age they would have looked, but more than likely, at least late teens, you know, maybe as they would have looked, who knows. But one thing is for certain, excuse me, they were created with a childlike attitude. They had that childlike attitude, and they were in the Garden of Eden, which is indicative of Yahweh's kingdom. So they had that, and they lost it. So we want to go over today, what is it that Yeshua is talking about when he's talking about having this childlike attitude to enter the kingdom of Yahweh? And what is it that can lose that attitude from it? So I'm going to go over here a number of points of what Yeshua means when he's saying, "Unless you enter as a child," because children do have very different mindset and characteristics than adults do. And it's just sad that as we grow up and we mature, that we lose some of these childlike characteristics that are really, really important in life and important for the kingdom. So let's start. The first one is humility, being humble. Children have humility. And when we're talking about children here, we're talking about the age of, let's say, 5, 6, 7, when a child is just starting to develop his learning capabilities. Of course, he's learning from birth, you know, but I'm saying as far as things like reading, writing, learning motor skills and all these things, learning. So I'm going to say this is the age I believe that Yeshua is speaking about. Somewhere between, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way up until probably around 12. Teenagers start to lose that innocence. They start to lose that childlike behavior. We'll talk about that a little later, where, a teenager, what's changing them that they're not keeping those things the way they were before. So the first thing, though, is humility. That's the first thing that we see in children. If we go to Mark 9 and verse 33, Mark 9 and verse 33, it says, "And they came to Capernaum, and having come into the house, he questioned them," again, Yeshua speaking, "What were you disputing yourselves on the road?" So here it was, the disciples are talking, right? Yeshua's not with them as they're speaking, you know, and they're discussing something, right? What are they discussing? "And they were silent, for they argued with one another on the road as to who was greater among them." Can you imagine? You know, you have them there, and here they are looking at each other, and, you know, maybe Peter saying, "Look, you know, I'm the head apostle. I'm the most important." And John saying, "No, he spends more time with me." And some of the other ones are giving reasons why they think to be more important. And then look what Yeshua says. And sitting, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Right? The first will be last and the last will be first. And taking a child, he set it in their midst, and having embraced it, he said to them, whoever receives one of such children on my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but the one who sent me. So clearly, Yeshua is showing that the first thing we need to learn from a child is humility, right? And what is humility? It's a basic characteristic that you're not putting your self-worth above other people. That's what pride is. Pride is basically giving yourself a false self-worth. That from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, everything is what's best for you. Because the world centers around you. What you want to do, what you want to eat, what you want to do this, what you want to do this. And everything is centered around that. And every human being who doesn't follow and doesn't attest to the whim of everything you want, there's something wrong here. They're not doing this the way I would doing it. They're not doing that the way I would be doing it. And that's what's called pride. It's putting a self-worth above yourself, putting your self-worth and your wants and desires above other people. And yet children don't do this. Children are selfish at times. There's no doubt about that. I'm not saying that. Human nature is selfish, right? Like we've said before, even a baby, a newborn baby that's just a few months old, he's not thinking of all the time and effort the mother's putting into caring for that baby and changing the baby's diapers and feeding that baby. No. He wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and he's hungry. All you're going to hear is, because that's the only way a baby can communicate and with his wants. But I'm talking, that's why I'm saying, when Yeshua is saying, he's not saying unless you enter as an infant, unless you enter as a newborn. He's saying unless you enter as a child. And that's what I'm saying. This age is somewhere between 5 to, let's say, 10, 11, somewhere around that. The innocence of a child that's growing up, a child that is humble, a child that doesn't see his self-worth above other people's self-worth. Matthew 18. And you know, it's interesting, like I could give a sermon like this and go over all these characteristics if Yeshua never said it. Yeshua doesn't have to say, unless you enter as a child, you will not enter. Because these are characteristics that we all know. It's not something here that is hidden. We know what children are like, and we know the innocence of a child and the childlike attitude that they have. But the fact that Yeshua specifically said it, and not only once, but several times, about if you don't enter as a child, you will not enter at all, shows how important this message is. Because as human beings, like I said, we lose that mentality. We lose that mentality that we had as children. And one of the major things is pride. You know, as people growing up, thinking that they know more than other people and thinking that their way is the only way. Matthew 18, starting in verse 1. In that hour, the disciples came to Yeshua saying, who then is greater in the kingdom of heaven? And having called forward a little child, Yeshua set him in their midst. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, not at all can you enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Yahweh. So unless you are converted, right? What does he mean by that? Because that's what happens at baptism. That's what happens when you become a believer. You're converted, you change, right? There's a process that's there that as you grow up. And you become prideful, and you become selfish, and you become self-seeking, and you want your own ways. And this is all part of human nature. And every human being has this. It's not like one has it or two have it. Everyone has it to one degree or another. But that's what conversion is. Conversion is going back to our childhood. Conversion is going back to that humble attitude of realizing, wow, I'm not better than anybody. Matter of fact, with the things I did in my life, I'm worse than anybody. And praise Yahweh for his mercy and his grace that he's forgiven me. So this is what he's saying. This is part of the conversion process. And it doesn't matter whether you're a believer for a year or you've been a believer for 30 or 40 years. I think everyone should be looking at that and thinking about that. Where are you in this conversion process? Are you going back and becoming like a child? where you're becoming more hardened in your ways. And that's what I say. In the days we're living in, and I can't tell you what it was like 100 years ago or even 2,000 years ago because I wasn't there, but I can tell you in the days we're living in today, in the Laodicean era, and I say this with 100% certainty, that at best, 50% of people that are baptized actually receive the Holy Spirit. Because it's not a matter of tricking Yahweh into it. And I can tell you through the years, there's been people that wrote me and wrote me and wrote me and wrote me over and over and over again that they wanted baptism, this and that. And then as soon as they were baptized, boom, it was like they fell into a black hole. You never heard from them again. It's like, ha ha, I tricked them. I got them to baptize me. Now I got the Holy Spirit. I don't need them. I'm on my own. And it doesn't work that way. Yahweh's not ignorant. Yahweh's not stupid. And unless you're repenting and humbling yourself, right? And believing in faith that Yeshua died for your sins, you're not going to receive the Holy Spirit. So somebody in some, at times I spend a lot of money going out of my way to get them wet in water. Other times they spend a lot of money out of their way to come somewhere to a feast or to come to a meeting and get baptized. But either way, at the end of the day, most of these people just got wet. There has to be a conversion. There has to be a change of life. There has to be a change of heart. That in order for somebody to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's why he's saying, unless you're converted, and converted and become like what? Become like children. So this message is so important because this is going to tell us what we need to be becoming if we want to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. And he says, unless you enter as a child with these characteristics that I'm going over, you will not enter at all. You're not going to enter with your pride and your arrogance and your selfishness. You're not going to enter the kingdom that way. There will not be one person in Yahweh's kingdom that's like that. So in verse 4, then whoever will humble himself as this little child, this one is greater in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever will receive such little child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones believing in me to offend, it is better for him that a millstone of a donkey be hung on the neck and be sunk in the depths of the sea. So we have to humble ourselves and think about it. There's probably times in your life, whether it's in your immediate family or it could be at your job at work or it could be in the congregation, where somebody or the leader or whoever had the authority there asked you to do a job. You know, can you clean this garbage out here? Can you do this? And you probably thought to yourself, how on earth could someone ask me to do that? You know, here it is. I'm above that. And yet with a child doesn't think that way. You know, when you go in the room and you ask a child, clean up your blocks, you know, they don't always do it the best because they're limited in their capacity, but at least they do it. I don't think a child sits there at 7, 8 years old thinking, how dare my parents ask me to clean up these blocks? I'm above that. Maybe when I was 4, you know, I could have cleaned them up, but I'm not cleaning them up now. I'm above this. It doesn't work that way. A child is humble. A child has humility. A child is not giving himself a false worth. That just isn't there. And that's the biggest thing I say, you know, the fear of Yahweh starts with humility. And that's the first gateway to the kingdom. And as long as you're prideful, you may not realize it, but what you're doing is you're actually putting yourself above Yahweh. You're putting your wants and desires above Yahweh. You become unappreciative. You don't see anything good that's being done in your life. And humility is the first thing. Humility is the first thing that we have to put on if we're going to become like children. Because there's no, you know, there's in general, children are not prideful. In the day and age we're living in today, believe me, because of conditioning of children, wow. Sorry to say, sometimes you do see children at 5 and 6 and 7 years old with green hair and all other kinds of stuff that it's just sad. But that's something totally different. That's about wrong parenting. So children normally don't have this false self-worth, the pride. And it's interesting because the word picture for pride is a camel, the gimel, you know, in Hebrew. And why? Because the camel has the long neck. And what happens when people are proud, that's what happens. The neck gets longer, right? When the neck starts going out, that's somebody who's prideful. You know, they're being elevated in their own mind. You know, he's a legend in his own mind, like the saying goes. And that's why even in the Hebrew language, you know, the gimel, the camel, is the word picture for pride because of that. John 13, and Yeshua, like I said, you know, in the day and age we're living in, people are getting so far away from the basic, simple message of salvation and getting into all these crazy conspiracy theories and all this other stuff that it's sad. It's really sad because, like Yeshua said, he is meek and lowly in spirit. And you know, all those who suffer, come unto him. And he will show the way. And that's his way, you know. His way is through humility. And that's the example that he set for us. John 13 and verse 5. And this is when the last Passover, when he's enabling the foot washing ceremony into the ceremony of the Passover in the New Covenant. He says, "Then he put water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe off with the towel which he was girded. And he came to Simon Peter, and that one said, 'Master, do not wash my feet.' And Yeshua said to him, 'The thing I do to you, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will know.'" Right? So, wow. Could you imagine? Here it is. He's the king of the universe, the creator of all things, the master of everything. And it's traditional in those days, remember, because there's not asphalt roads, you know, and concrete roads and those things. There's dirt roads, sometimes stone. You know, they did have in certain places stone roads. But most of the time, people coming from a journey, their feet are very dirty and people wear sandals, you know. So as you came into a house of somebody, you usually, you know, you might take your sandals off or not, depending on the situation. But what you would do is you wouldn't wash your feet, you'd wash your hands. And they had a way of pouring in the hands and washing in the hands before eating. And here it is, they're coming to that Passover, and what does Yeshua do? Besides washing the hands, he gets on his hands and feet with the towel and water and starts washing the dirt off the feet of his disciples. Wow. Talk about humility. You know, that to the point where Peter was embarrassed to say, "No, don't do this to me." And drop down to verse 12. And he says, "Then when he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, reclining again, he said to him, 'Do you know what I've done to you? You call me the teacher and the master, and you say, well, for I am. If then I washed your feet, the master and the teacher, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I gave you an example that as I did to you, you should also do. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one sending him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And that's why sometimes people abuse judicial order, you know, people in authority. If you look today, it's really a sad world. Can you find any leaders anywhere in the world who really care for their people? You know, people aren't like that. They get into politics, they get into these things to be self-serving instead of serving the people. And look what Yeshua said. You know, the slave is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one sending him. And basically, like I say this with judicial order, somebody who's a policeman, he may have more authority than the rest of the people in the town, but he's not better than them. A matter of fact, there's a maturity that has to be there to accept that. You know, because sometimes police abuse their authority. Most don't, praise Yahweh, and because they're there to care for the people, and that's what they're in the position of. But this is what Yeshua is saying when you're looking at humility. You have to realize this. And that's a basic child does. A basic child doesn't feel like his self-worth is better than other people. Okay, the second point is a child is teachable. A child is teachable. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says, "Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but nurture them in the discipline and teaching of Yahweh." So in the world we live in today, most children have gone to school to one degree or another. Whether it's homeschooling or public schooling, doesn't make a difference. Most children have been taught. But somehow, as adults, people stop, you know, they stop having this mindset of humility. And, you know, one way I look in Israel at the fact of soldiers, and I've said this for many, many years, that I believe Israel and the IDF are the most disciplined soldiers in the world. When you look at the situation that they have there of terrorism and people can come out and shoot them, and yet these young kids that are normally somewhere between 18 to 25, say, they're kind, they're serving, they're helpful. And then all of a sudden, though, when they become adults, you see the major society there where people that are 40 and 50 and 60, and they're not that way. And it's not just in Israel, but it's everywhere in the world. I'm trying to make the point that when children are in school, and not to say there's not kids that cause trouble or silly or whatnot, but for the most part, children are listening, right? They're listening in school. They're listening when they have homework to do. They're listening when the teacher tells them to do something. You know, they're not thinking, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to listen to you, because it's a part of the child's spirit is that they're teachable. Yahweh made us that way. Our human nature, which is corrupted from birth because of the Garden of Eden, but also our human nature is teachable. That children from birth, they are teachable. And there are things you could teach them. And even it's amazing when children are very young, when they're, let's say, 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, a child at that age can learn a second language easier than an adult can. Because their mind is just geared toward that. It's instinctive of them learning stuff. And what happens when they do, they're repeating what they hear. So that's why it's easier for them to learn a language. Not necessarily that they're going to learn it from a book, but they're able to repeat what they hear. And this is why as parents, we have the responsibility to watch what our children see and watch what they hear. Because what they see and what they hear is what they're going to repeat. But the children are teachable. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. What does it say? Train a child on the opening of the way, and even when he is old, he will not turn aside from it. Train a child in the opening of the way. When a child is born, you're training them from birth. You're training them from birth. And, like they say, close to 80% of what a child learns in his life is in the first 5 or 6 years that he's born. You know, as far as his character goes, as far as his personality goes, you know, not the knowledge that he's going to learn. But that's why it's important in these early years. But are we teachable, right? Are we teachable? Or is it as an adult now, somehow because of our pride, it's always we won't listen or we know better or how dare that person, you know, somebody in services maybe gives you some advice on something and you're offended because how dare they think I need advice on how to do this and that? Are we teachable? And I'll tell you something, like I said, I'm in this faith now going on 37 years and I've seen a major difference in the last 10 to 15 years. Because I know when I first became a believer, and I know as a young guy, I had a lot of pride, but I certainly was teachable. Man, was I teachable. And I look today at like the Bible school we have and the different programs that I've run for the last 20 years, and I wish there were programs like that when I was younger. You know, they had singles clubs and they had singles Bible studies, but nothing even close to what I teach. And all I know is I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn because I wanted to be a master. I wanted to learn the Bible. I wanted to learn what it is to be a believer. I wanted to learn. And we need to have that because it's a childlike attitude. Children are teachable. Proverbs 4. And like I said, it's instinctive to them. But when we get older, it's not instinctive. It's the opposite. Because we've conditioned ourselves. We've conditioned ourselves over and over and over not to listen to people, not to listen to parents, not to listen to pastors, not to listen to husband or wife, not to listen to the boss at work, not to listen to anybody. And we have to get back. We have to get back to that teachable attitude because this is part of unless you're converted, you will not enter the kingdom. So Proverbs 4, and the main person we need to listen to is Yahweh. Proverbs 4, sons, hear the instruction of a father. Pay attention to no understanding. For I give you good teaching. Do not forsake my Torah. For I was my father's son, tender and an only one in the sight of my mother. And he taught me and said to me, let your heart cling to my words, keep my commandments and live. So again, the reason why we follow judicial order, the reason why we follow our parents, the reason why we follow our teachers, the reason why we follow our boss at work or the policeman or our husband or whatever it is, the reason why we follow is because that's Yahweh's judicial order. It's not man. And this way we're following Yahweh. And we need to have that. And we should love it. We should love it because knowledge is power. And we should love to learn. And we should love to want to know the Bible. Because that's the way that you're going to become smarter. Because face it, we're not smarter than Satan is. He is pretty smart. He may be evil and sinister and wicked, but he is smart. And the way that he's going to trick you is when you're illiterate, when you're not teachable, you know, because then he's going to think that he's going to sneak you into think you're teaching yourself when he's the one who's teaching you his evil ways. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, page over, says, "My son, do not reject the chastising of Yahweh and do not hate his correction. For whom Yahweh loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects a son with whom he is pleased." So when parents correct their children, they're not doing it because they hate the child. They're doing it because they love the child. That's what the Bible says. It says, he who doesn't correct the child hates his child. You know, he who holds the rod hates his child. So it's with love that parents correct their children, the same way that Yahweh corrects us. And children have this attitude of being teachable. Children want to learn, you know. And we should make it interesting and fun for them. But we have to be the same way. We have to be learners. And Luke 13, 34 and 35. Luke 13, 34 and 35. And this is when Yeshua was in Jerusalem right before the last Passover is going to come. And look what he says, very interesting. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one killing the prophets and stoning those having been sent to her. How often I desire to gather your children in the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you did not want it," right? A hen gathers her chicks, her children, because the children, whether it's a kitten outside, or it's a little puppy, or it's a little chick, that naturally Yahweh has made a system where children follow the mother. Children follow the parents, right? But here it was Jerusalem. What did they do when Yahweh sent teachers to them? They killed the prophets and stoned those 70. How often he says, "I desire to gather you as children," you know? And the way a hen gathers her chicks, "but you did not want it." So what does he say? "Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is you comes in the name of Yahweh.'" And here we are, 2,000 years later, and 11 tribes are in the new covenant except for Judah. And we know that some will come in, no doubt about that, you know, because Yahweh loves Judah still. But look what Judah did to themselves. They were the first one to receive the good news because Yeshua was Jewish, and they rejected it because they did not have a teachable attitude. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks with you as with sons, with children. My sons, my children, do not despise the chastising of Yahweh, nor faint while being corrected by him. For whom Yahweh loves, he chastises and disciplines every son who is pleased. If you endure discipline, Yahweh is dealing with you as with sons or children. For who is the son whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are strangers and not sons. Furthermore, indeed, we had fathers of our flesh as correctors, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits, and we shall live? For truly they disciplined us for a few days according to the things seeming good to them, but he, Yahweh, for our profit, in order for us to partake of his holiness. And all discipline for the present indeed does not seem joyous, but grievance. But afterwards it gives back peaceable fruit of righteousness to the ones having been exercised by it." So here it is, Yahweh gives us trials because he loves us. And that's the way we grow. That's the way we mature. That's the way he teaches us. That's the way we learn lessons. And yet some people are bitter by it. You know, things that don't happen, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a loss of a job because of Sabbath or whatever, and people get bitter by it. And our trials should be, they should be like it says in Jacob. You know, they're like gold. Because that's the way we're going to change. That's the way we're going to be converted. That's the way we're going to become more like Yahweh. We're not going to become that way if everything goes our way. You know what's going to happen then? You're going to just get more prideful. Who are the most prideful, arrogant people in the world? People that are richest. Big millionaires, Hollywood people, right? A lot of sports players. They're the ones that are the most prideful. They're the ones that are the most messed up. And do they have good lives and good marriages with all their money? No. They're the most unhappy, miserable people in life. You know, and then what do? They go to worldly therapists that just tell them, oh, how bad everything was for them. Does it make them happy? No. It makes them more miserable. So the money doesn't make them happy. It makes them worse because they can't take the chastising. So Yahweh chastises us because he loves us. Next is forgiving. Children are forgiving. Matthew 6 and verse 12. Matthew 6 and verse 12. It says, and forgive us our offenses as we also forgive those having offended us. And do not lead us into trial, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. For if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their transgressions, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. I don't know how it can be any clearer on this. I give message after message after message on this. Every single person knows, particularly believers, if you read this, that if you don't forgive somebody else, you will not be forgiven. And believe it or not, how many believers hold bitterness? How many believers still don't forgive? And they still have reasons why. And it's only pride. It's only pride. Because if you're not forgiving, you really think, well, Yahweh has to forgive me because I deserve forgiveness. But him? No, no, no. I'm not going to forgive him because he hurt me. It's only pride that this stuff comes up. And even though it's very clear, your sins will not be forgiven if you don't forgive. That forgiveness, it's not only for the other person, it's for yourself, and it cleanses your heart. There's still people that don't do it. And yet children aren't like this. Children forgive. You know, like I said, there's been times in the past where parents will come up, and parents sometimes will have friction with other parents because their children are fighting. And this happens in families a lot. And I know when I was younger, because I've said this before, my grandmother had 15 children. I had many, many cousins. And my uncles and aunts were all close together. But sometimes there'd be such friction in the family because their children were fighting. And then as they're fighting with each other, justifying their own child, what happens? You look and the two children that were fighting before are arm in arm and loving each other again. And then you come up to them. What was the problem? They don't even remember. Children are forgiving. Children forgive and they forget. And that's the spirit of Yahweh. Like Yahweh says in Psalm 103, he puts it from the east to the west. And yet sometimes as adults and as believers, people won't do it. People hold bitterness. And it's the worst thing in the world because, like I said, the bitterness you're holding is not hurting the other person who you're bitter toward. They could have repented. Their life is great. You may never see them again. It's hurting you. Because that bitterness is going to be rottenness in your soul, and it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy you physically, mentally, spiritually, in everything. So children are forgiving. And if you can't forgive, you can't be in the kingdom. It's that simple. Let's go to one page before, Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Then if you offer your gift on the altar and remember there that your brother has a grudge against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then coming, offer your gift. And I don't know, I think through the years and probably through the millennial, this is probably one of the biggest problems that Yeshua's congregation has had over the last 2,000 years. I know in this generation it's been that way, that people just don't want to be forgiving. They want to think they're under Yahweh's grace. They want to think that they're being forgiven every day, and yet they're not forgiving other people. And like I said, it's a cancer in your life, and you have to do it. But children are, praise Yahweh, the children can be fighting and rolling on the ground, even pulling each other's hair and punching each other, and 2 minutes later they're playing again and loving each other. The next is believing. Believing and trusting. Children are believing and trusting. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And this is an important one too, because, right, without faith it's impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if we believe Yahweh with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, right, then as we go through these things now that purify us, they may not be easy, but we would never give up. Because we know in the end that it's all for our good, right? That Yahweh has a reward for us if we're seeking him. So it's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. And yet children have that faith. Children are trusting. It's like if you go up to a child, you know, I used this example before, you know. You could go up to a little child who's 6 or 7 and they could say, "That's not true." And that child would say, "It is true. My daddy told me. And if my daddy told me, you know, that he could turn that car into that tree, then my daddy... It can do it." Children believe their parents. Children believe their parents when they say things. And that's why it is, I know parents don't realize the damage they're doing, but to tell your children the lie that there's, you know, this fat man with a red suit and a white beard coming down your chimney, even if you don't have a chimney, or that the tooth fairy is putting money under your pillow, or that there's a big bunny that's coming in and putting eggs in your house. All of these lies is destroying the faith of your children. It's just making your children, as they get older, think, "Man, I believed in my parents, and they lied to me." So it's important that we keep that trust, right? But if we drop down to verse 8 of Hebrews 11, Abraham, the father of the faithful, right? He's the one we should be looking as an example. And it says, "Having been called out by faith, Abraham obeyed to go forth to a place which he was going to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not understanding where he went. By faith he resided as a foreigner in a land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, joint heirs of the same promise. For he looked forward to a city having the foundations of which the builder and maker is Yahweh. Also by faith Sarah herself received power for conceiving seed even beyond the time of age, and gave birth since she deemed the one having promise to be faithful. Therefore, from one man failing through age, numbers were born like the stars in heaven and like the sand on the seashore, which is innumerable." Wow. So can you imagine, you know, if you were 99 years old and your wife is 90 and somebody came to you and said, "You know, I'm the messenger of Yahweh and you're going to have a child next year." Would you believe them? You know, would you believe them? And you know what? A child would. A child has that faith. Abraham did. He had that child faith. And you know how we have that child faith? Because there's people out there, you know, you get these scholars and you get these scientists and they want to tell you why, you know, God doesn't exist. You know, they don't know his name is Yahweh, and they have all these reasons why they believe. And they'll say the Bible isn't true because, you know, look at these silly stories, you know, that they had a donkey speak. A donkey can't speak. You know, and you know, they're right. A donkey can't speak. But you know what? I'm just simple enough to believe that if Yahweh wants a donkey to speak, that Yahweh can make a donkey speak. So I believe it. I believe every word in the Bible. I believe every word that Yahweh says. And I'm simple enough to believe it. I don't have to scientifically prove how a donkey can speak, right? Because I know one thing. I see a lot of these guys with a lot of letters after their names and with PhD and this and that. And I see a lot of these jackasses speaking. So if Yahweh can make a donkey speak there, then he can make a jackass or a donkey speak in the Bible. What's the difference? So I'm simple enough to believe it, and I don't have to prove it. It's like the bumper sticker that says, "Yahweh said it, I believe it," that settles it, you know? And Yahweh does give us a lot of proof for things. You know, when we're looking at things like the Yeshua boat that's found, you know, here it is, the same spot, the same exact spot that he says to Peter, you know, to forsake everything, Peter and John, and come follow me. And they do it in the Bible 2,000 years ago. And now 2,000 years later, they find that boat right there. Now, does it say Peter's boat? No. But I believe the story before they found the boat. And that's why I believe there's a good chance that could be Peter's boat. Because Yahweh shows proof. The tabernacle of David, the same thing. You know, did we have to find that standing pillar to know that Yeshua's covenant is sure? No, but Yahweh put it there to his proof to show that that covenant is sure. So I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. And we have to. We have to have that childlike attitude of belief, of trusting, and of believing. And like I said, we have to be careful that, you know, we're not telling our children things that aren't true, that we're not filling them up with lies that aren't true. Okay, the next one is innocent. And this is a big one, because I think this leads to other things when a child fails at this. A child is innocent. Matthew 10 and verse 16. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So, all of us have probably seen in the world where, you know, whether it's your own children or somebody else's children, when you talk to children that are like 4 and 5 and 6 years old, and the cute things they say, you know, because they're innocent, you know, and there's nothing like the innocence of a child. To me, I think it's the greatest gift that Yahweh has given us in the world is the innocence of a child. Because in a world where people are so evil and sinister and so bad, to see an innocence of a child is just so beautiful, and to show the way Adam and Eve was, because that's the innocence they had when they were created. They were like that. They had this innocence. And Jacob 127 says, "Pure and holy service before Yahweh and the Father is to visit the orphan and the widows and their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And that's the responsibility of the parents, is that innocence isn't just lost by nothing. That innocence is lost by the evil world around us. It's lost by evil people and sinister things. And you know, I don't want to get into this because it's a horrible subject, but it's a true subject when you think of how many hundreds of thousands and millions of children every year lose their innocence to are kidnapped, and children being sexually abused, and all of this bad stuff that happens in a major, major way in the world. It's not happening little, and it is the most heartbreaking thing in the world. Because like I said, once a child loses that innocence, they never get it back. We'll see that as I go into example of Adam and Eve in a minute. So we as parents, now that's the worst form of losing their innocence. But as parents, we need to keep our children unspotted from the world. Because I've seen it in the past. I've seen brethren have children that were babies, and they're cute as anything, and they're going and on as they're growing up. They're so cute. And then all of a sudden you move away, or you don't see them for X amount of years. Then all of a sudden you see them later, and they might be 10 or 12 or 15. And you're like, "That's little Johnny? That was cute little Johnny. This guy with spiked hair, you know, with tattoos. This guy, you know, and the way he is." And we're living in a world where it doesn't take much for children to lose their innocence. And that's why I say, you know, I might sound like a broken record, but I'm telling you, parents, keep your kids off the internet. It's shocking to me. It's shocking to me when I see parents. It's shocking in the world. I mean, parents 4 and 5 years old, parents are letting their kids have iPods and these things. 4 and 5 and 6 years old. That they're addicted to it. And we already know they're addicting. We know they're like slot machines. That they literally programmed these things in social media and these iPods in the games you play, that they're like a slot machine, that they know how to get into your mind. And it's like a slot machine. As you see that thing rolling, you know, that there's something in your brain that's being set off, that you want to do it again, and you get addicted to it. You get addictive to it like a Pringle potato chip, you know. They put things on that potato chip so you can't just eat one. They make it addictive to you. And they do it the same thing with the internet. So to give your children iPods and to let them go on the internet, you know, I mean, I don't think a child should have internet access or email or any of that stuff till they're at least 18, you know. There's no way that children should be on the internet and doing that stuff. And there's just too much, there's too much trial for error. There's too much avenues that can go wrong by it. And I think sometimes that the parents just, it's an easy way. You know, that it's the television or it's the internet that is raising the child. And, you know, that it can give a couple hours a day that they're on that TV or watching movies or doing whatever. But man, you got to watch out. Because once that innocence is lost, it never comes back. It never comes back. So we're told in Jacob 1 verse 27, pure and undefiled service before Yahweh and the fathers, to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions and keep oneself unspotted from the world. And it's not easy in the world we live in today. We're seeing that it's becoming almost impossible. And praise Yahweh that he's inspired communities for us. We have more than 20 now. They're even growing, even in this pandemic that we're doing. But that's the way it's got to go because the world is really, really bad. And we need to be doing this. Modesty is part of innocence. You know, to see sometimes, and I've seen it even with people in the congregation. You know, you'll see somebody, a lady who was in the congregation, very modest and this and that. Then all of a sudden they leave the congregation and you happen to run into them in a Walmart or something years later. And they don't even dress modest anymore. You know, they lose that innocence because there's a reason why Yeshua has a congregation. A congregation is like a family. And within this body, we can be sanctified. And we can help each other. And we can, we can be protective of each other. And once you leave and you're on your own, forget about it. Forget about it. You'll never last in this world, you know. So you have to keep your kids away from this stuff. Genesis 2 and verse 16. Genesis 2 and verse 16. Because the first Adam and Eve, and this is one of the saddest things to me in life or in scripture. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, eating you may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day you eat, surely you shall die. And then we go to Genesis 3 and what happens? Verse 6, and the woman saw the tree was good for food, right? Pleasant to the eyes. And the tree was desirable to make one wise. We see the pride that came in, right? Selfishness, pride. And she took of the fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed leaves of the fig tree and made girdles for themselves. Wow. This is where they lost their innocence. And it breaks my heart to read that. Because, you know, you think of when little kids are 5 and 6 years old, and they're running around the house naked, right? Or maybe running, you know, in the pool or in the shower, whatever. They don't see anything wrong with it. And there's not anything wrong with it. Yahweh made us that way. That's the way Yahweh made. And to think that Adam and Eve were that way, you know, maybe they're in the Garden of Eden and they're playing tag, you're it, you know, whatever they're doing. But all I know is when you read that scripture in Genesis 3, 6 and 7, right? And they realized they were naked. They lost their covering. They lost their covering of Yahweh, that they lost their trust because what happened? By losing their innocence, they stopped believing in Yahweh. They became unteachable. They lost their humility. All the other things were lost when they lost their innocence. And that's why as believers, like I said, man, when you lose that innocence, you never get it back in your life. You never get it back. And that's why it talks about in Proverbs, one of the most beautiful things in the world is the way of a man with a virgin, a husband when he marries his wife and on their wedding night, because that's something the way that Yahweh made it. That's the purity that Yahweh made it. So you can never get that back when you lose it. But, you know, as a believer, when we get converted, and that's what Yeshua said, all things become new and our minds can be wiped from that in morality and all that stuff that's there. And I remember when I first became a believer, I think it was a relative of mine was saying to me, you're brainwashed. You're being brainwashed. And I said, praise Yahweh. Yeah, he's washing my brain of all that evil stuff that I had in my life before. And he's renewing my mind and regenerating me to the mind of Messiah. So we should be praying Yahweh that we hope that he brainwashes us, that he washes our brain of all the filth that's out there. But one of the saddest scriptures here to me, to see Adam and Eve lose their innocence because so many other things are lost. Once you lose your innocence, you can never trust the same way again. You become bitter, prideful, unforgiving, and not willing to listen. And it isn't easy, you know. I mean, People over the years, I'm a pastor 26 years, I've counseled many, many people with everything in life, going through all kinds of trials and struggles. And it's not easy when people come in that have been abused, that have had all kinds of troubles growing up, bad marriages, all kinds of stuff, sicknesses. But one thing I can say is, if you allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life, things do become new. Things do become new. And this is part of becoming like a child. We have to seek back for that innocence that Adam and Eve lost, right? It's really, really sad because, like I said, once you lose that, so many other things. By them losing their innocence, they stopped believing and trusting in Yahweh. They believed in Satan. They became unteachable and prideful, and they lost these other things. So going on, the next thing is dependent. A child is dependent. A child is dependent on their parents. Like I said, you don't find too many seven-year-olds that have their own house, you know, their own apartment, live on their own and do their own thing. You don't find that. No, a child is dependent on the parents. A child can't survive. A baby certainly can't survive without its parents. You know, it would just die without their. But a child is dependent on the parents. Revelation 3, 17 and 18. Revelation 3, 17 and 18. Because we're living in the Laodicean era, and that's the first thing of a Laodicean. A Laodicean does not want to be dependent, right? Revelation 3 and verse 17. Because you said, I am rich, and I am made rich, and I have need of nothing. And do you not know that you are miserable and a wanderer, and poor and blind and naked, right? Wow. So here it is, the Laodicean, just like Adam and Eve, they realized when they stopped trusting and believing in Yahweh, they realized they were naked. They lost their innocence. And that's the same as a Laodicean. There's nothing innocent about a Laodicean. Laodicean has no innocence because the Laodicean is so filled with pride. He just thinks that because of his knowledge that he has, that everything will be good. But again, faith without works is dead. So the Laodicean has no fruit. He has no works. He has the knowledge. He thinks it's enough. But you can't help him. Why? Because he keeps saying he doesn't need anything. Right? He has everything. He's not codependent. He's not dependent or codependent. He's independent. He doesn't need anything. So what does Yahweh say? The fact that he's really miserable, a wanderer, and poor and blind and naked. He says, I advise for you to buy from me gold having been fired by fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed and your shame and nakedness may not be revealed. He'll get his innocence back. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So we don't want to be like the Laodicean. We want to make sure that we are, that we're 100% dependent on Yahweh and we're codependent on each other. You know, I know to me, one of the hardest parts of the last year with COVID and the lockdowns is not being able to visit the brethren. You know, I love it. I love the trips. And I know the brethren love the trips and being able to encourage them. And, you know, it's something that I really, really miss. And Yahweh willing, I'm hoping that I could start again soon. But we need that codependency. You know, you can't just lock yourself, think that you could lock yourself away somewhere and that you don't need the other brethren. Because we are dependent on each other. And a child is dependent. A child can't survive. You know, and we need to realize that we are one body, right? We're one body with many members. And we can't survive on our own. If you cut your finger off, can the finger survive without the body? Of course not. And it's the same way that we have to realize that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And if we're going to survive in this end time, we have to be dependent on each other. And that's a good thing. Praise Yahweh that we have each other, you know, that we can be dependent on each other. And there is a body there. You look in the world, there's so much depression these days and sadness and even suicide because of COVID and the situation in the world because people don't have anybody. They don't have anybody, but we have each other. And we can be dependent on each other. John 5 and verse 30. John 5 and verse 30. It says, I am not able to do anything of my desire, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. For I don't seek my will, rather the will of him who sent me. So Yeshua was totally dependent on Yahweh the Father. He was 100% dependent on Yahweh, and we need to be 100% dependent on Him and Yahweh also. Matthew 6 and verse 24. He says, "No one is able to serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. You are not able to serve Yahweh and wealth. Because of this, I said to you, do not be anxious for your soul, what you eat and what you drink, or for your body and what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Observe the birds of the heaven, that they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Do you not rather excel than them? But who of you, by being anxious, is able to add one cubit unto his stature? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they do not labor or spin. But I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of these. If Yahweh so enrobes the grass of the field, which is today and is thrown into a furnace tomorrow, will he not much rather you, little faiths? Then do not be anxious, saying, what may we eat? Or what may we drink? Or what may clothe us? For after all these things the nations seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Then don't be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious of itself. Sufficient to each day is its own trouble." So, children don't sit there worrying, you know, about rent and how are we going to pay for food and these other things. No, children just wake up. They do what they're going to do. They're because they trust their parents. They just trust that their parent is going to feed them and their parent is going to have a place for them to live and their parent's going to take care of them. And if a child can have that kind of faith and dependency on an earthly parent, why can't we have that with Yahweh? Why would we worry about where we're going to live? Or how we're going to, you know, get our food or the other things. If we are seeking first the kingdom, and maybe that's the problem why sometimes people are worried about that, because they're not seeking first the kingdom. If you are truly seeking first the kingdom and Yahweh's righteousness, it's his promise that these other things will be added to you. So if you don't believe that, you're doing the same thing Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. You're believing Satan instead of believing Yahweh. We just simply have to get our mind on the kingdom. Yahweh promises us. That's his promise. And how he does it, that's up to him. And I could sit here for the next, 2 years and tell story after story after story how he did it in our life. Because our life is a living miracle without salary and, you know, without mammon, how Yahweh is taking care of us. But he has. He has. Sometimes it's by inspiring somebody. Other times it's been miracles, but he's taking care of us. So why would I ever doubt him? Why on earth would I doubt him for that? What I have to do is I just have to make sure I'm seeking first the kingdom and doing his work. And as long as I'm doing his work, he'll take care of me. And if something is going wrong that I'm not being taken care of, it's not to blame Yahweh. I have to start thinking, what am I doing wrong? Maybe I'm not seeking the kingdom the way I should. So children are dependent. Children are dependent. And the last one is, children are not respecters of persons. Children are not respecters of persons. And human beings are. It's the most amazing thing in the world that because everybody is different. And like I said, you look today and racism to me is the most stupidest thing in the world because everybody in the world is different. So why would I judge somebody on where they were born? What country they come from, the color of their skin, if they're a male or a female, if they know how to play the piano or not, or any other ridiculous thing. Why on earth would I judge somebody on that? You know, wouldn't I rather, if I'm making a community and I'm saying, you know what, I want a community with 50 people, I'm not going to say I want them all to have red hair, or, you know, I want them all to be at least 6 foot tall. That's not going to give me a good community. What's going to give me a good community is I want them to all be like children. I want them to all have these characteristics we're going over today. I want them to all have the fruits of the Spirit, the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Those are the things that you look for, not, you know, physically how somebody looks or where they come from. Jacob 2 and verse 1 says, "My brothers, do not with partiality uphold the glorious faith of our Master Yeshua Messiah. For if a gold-fingered man in splendid clothing comes into your synagogue, and a poor one in shabby clothing comes in, and you look on the one wearing the splendid clothing and say to him, you sit here comfortably, and to the poor one you say, you stand there, or sit here under my footstool. But if you have, and then verse 9, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin, and you are convicted by the Torah as transgressors of the Torah. So again, you know, you don't do something good for somebody because you can get something back, or that they're the, you know, a leader somewhere or your boss at work. You do it because somebody has a need. And it doesn't matter if that need is with somebody who can never pay you back, or the lowest person, or somebody, you know, who may be able to help you some way in the future. You help somebody because there's a need, never thinking of getting something back in return, without respect of persons. And even our enemies, Scripture says, that we even have to love our enemies. John 13 and verse 31. John 13 and verse 31. It says, then when he had gone out, Yeshua said, now the Son of Man was glorified, and Yahweh was glorified in him. If Yahweh was glorified in him, Yahweh will also glorify him in himself, and immediately will glorify him. My sons, yet a little while, I am with you. You will seek me, and I said to the Jews, where I go, you're not able to come. I also say to you now, I give a new commandment to you, that you should love one another according as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this, all shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So there's no respect of persons. We have to love everybody. And like I said, it doesn't say you have to like everybody. It says you have to love everybody. But sometimes when there's somebody, maybe it's you're finding a little bit of hardness in liking the person for whatever reason. You see that if you actually show love to the person, you know, then maybe you could start liking them also. But this is where there's no respect of persons in Yahweh's congregation. But we have to show love for another. And that's goes with not having respect of person, that a child has love. A child has unconditional love. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Starting in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 3. He says, if I give out all my possessions to the poor, and I surrender my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love in my heart, I am not profited anything. Love has patience, is kind. Love is not envious. Love does not make a vain display of itself. Love does not boast, right? Love does not have pride. Love is humility. It does not behave indecently. Does not pursue its own things, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love quietly covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So this is what a child has. That a child, even I've seen in the most horrible circumstances, where there can be an abusive parent or something going on in the house, the child still shows this unconditional love. And that's what we need to learn. We need to learn it because that's the kind of love Yahweh has. Yahweh has unconditional love for us. And that's why he says, you know, if your brother offends you seven times a day and seven times a day comes and asks for forgiveness, you forgive him. And Yahweh would never ask us to do something that he wouldn't do. So if he's asking us to forgive our brother seven times a day, then he forgives us seven times a day. But Yahweh has this unconditional love. And this is also what a child has. So here we see, you know, unless you enter the kingdom as a child, you will not enter. And what did we learn today? We learned that a child has humility. A child is teachable. A child is forgiving. A child is believing and trusting. A child is innocent. And a child is dependent and not a respecter of person with unconditional love. But there is one thing that we should not be like a child. So these are the things you need. You need that childlike attitude to enter the kingdom. But there is one thing we're told not to be like children. And it's in 1 Corinthians 13:11. 1 Corinthians 13:11. This is the Apostle Paul. So here it's in the love chapter. It's right after what we were just reading here, right? We're just reading about love. But then look what he talks about in verse 11. He says, when I was an infant, you know, or a child, I spoke as an infant or a child. I thought as an infant or a child. I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So the one thing that we don't want to imitate a child is in immaturity. Children are immature. They're silly sometimes. They make dumb mistakes because they're not thinking. And we don't want to be like that. So yes, we want to be humble like children, teachable like children, forgiving like children, believing and trusting like children, have an innocent, pure heart like a child, be dependent like a child, not a respecter of person, and have unconditional love. But we don't want to be immature. We don't want to be immature. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. It talks about, you know, Yeshua assigning some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and some shepherds, right? And why? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all may come to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, so that we may no longer be children, being blown and carried away by every wind of false doctrine of men, who through their craftiness are very skillful in deceiving the people. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up to him in all things, who is the head, the Messiah. So a child has these natural characteristics that Yahweh made, these instinctive characteristics of being humble and teachable and forgiving and trusting and innocent, you know, independent and having unconditional love. But like I said, a child also has to mature. And what a child doesn't have the grasp of doctrine. A child doesn't have the understanding of the Bible because he hasn't received the Holy Spirit yet. So we don't want to be like a child like that, because there are a lot of evil people out there. And that's why, again, I say, watch the internet, that are teaching every kind of false doctrine. And we don't want to be like children. And man, there were tough doctrines before, you know, and you talk about the calendar, right? All these things are not easy all the time. But today people are falling for the most false doctrine you can ever imagine. The rotating Sabbath. How on earth can anybody ever believe that? When the Sabbath is every seventh day, just count seven. A child can count the seven. That's why a child wouldn't give up the Sabbath. But people get into it. The flat earth is another one. I mean, you could prove it 100 different ways that the earth cannot be flat. It's impossible. It's impossible in every way you look at it. But people will still believe in it. And people will get into every kind of false wind of doctrine, every kind of conspiracy theory, you know, worrying about if a man was put on the moon, or who cares? Who cares? And by doing that, what do? They fall away from the truth. And that's why Yahweh puts elders there. That's why he puts teachers there. And can you imagine, for 2,000 years, I'm in a chain of elders that has always believed the truth. The man who ordained me, and the man who ordained him, and the one who ordained, going all the way back to the apostles, that we've had these doctrines of the dead being asleep, there's no immortal soul, the Sabbath day, and the commandments, and all these doctrines that we bring to the brethren. And some will give all that up and give up their very faith and leave the congregation over some false doctrine. It's sad. It's sad. But that's not the attitude of a child. Because children are dependent. Children would never, you don't see a 7 or an 8 or a 10-year-old with their backpack walking out saying, bye ma, bye dad, I'm leaving. No, a child can't, because they're dependent. It's part of their nature. It's part of their character. And we have to be the same way. We can't be thrown. We can't be that immature and being thrown by every wind of doctrine. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brothers, do not be children in your minds, but in malice be like infants, but in your minds be mature. Do not be children in your minds. So we want to be children, like I said, in all these points I'm going over, but we don't want to be children in our mind. Our last scripture here is Matthew 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5 and verse 48. Therefore you become perfect or mature, complete, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, there's many things we can learn about children and having that childlike attitude. And like Yeshua said, unless you're converted and become like a child, being humble, teachable, forgiving, believing and trusting, innocent, dependent, no respect of person with unconditional love, you cannot enter the kingdom of Yahweh. So there are some great, great golden nuggets here today that we have to learn by. But at the same rate, we want to make sure we're maturing and we don't want the immaturity of a child. That's not what Yeshua is talking about when he's saying, you know, let the children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We want to have that unconditional love. We want to have that innocent, pure-heartedness in our life. You know, we want to have that believing, trusting in Yahweh that no matter what he says, and like I said, as times are going to get tougher, our faith has to become stronger. That if my daddy said, you know, that he's going to put me in his kingdom and he's going to resurrect me from the dead, then my daddy can do it. And of course he can. So I pray that this message helps, because it's extremely important, because like Yeshua said, unless you're converted like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.